Is there a true path for each person's life? Is there a right, pre-set, true path for each human being that they must follow? And if there is, what happens if they fall off it? That's a question that I have for you. I'm going to ask you what you think about this. Think about it, because if you answer it too quickly, you probably are going to miss some things. Is there a true path? Lots of different people believe different things about this, don't they? For instance, I like this guy's opinion. Po, Kung Fu Panda, you know those movies? They're really good. And Po has the idea that there is a true path. It is the path of the... Come on, where are you all today? The path of the panda, come on. The greatest animated movie of the last 20 years. Po has this idea that there is a true path that someone is destined for and must follow. And if they fall off it, they've got to get back on it. And that's one of the greatest themes of this series of movies. It's a really philosophical question, isn't it? It's a question that, to be honest, if you ask for too long, it might not actually completely help you in your life to obsess over this question. So we should ask philosophers what they think. And so I'm going to turn to the greatest philosophers the world ever made, the ancient Greeks, 500 years before Christ. Two philosophers, Parmenides and Zeno, answered this question. Parmenides and Zeno answered this question. Parmy had to say that there is a true path for each person's life. And he said that there are only two tracks a person can take, the path of truth or the path of error. And Zeno went on to expand that thinking. What do you think of that? Is that right? Is that how it works? This theme is so common. Buddha talks about this. Buddha says there's a true path for a person's life and that only you can follow it. And the Star Wars movies say exactly the same thing. Here's Luke and Ben Kenobi talking about the destiny and the path that they have. It seems to be a theme in modern culture. Here it is again. A guy who has a destiny or a path that he must follow. Is that how it is for you? And what if you miss it? That's the question. John Bunyan, 1678, one of the greatest spiritual books of all time, The Pilgrim's Progress. I've been reading it through the season of Lent, and it's been finding its way into our sermons a bit. John Bunyan says that there is a true path, which is to follow Jesus Christ, and he makes this fairy tale of someone on the road who keeps kind of falling off the road a bit. So what do you think? Is there a true track or not? Now, bear in mind that I'm not going to answer this question precisely today. I'm going to leave it sit with you and get you to think about it and wrestle with it this week. But I would be wrong if I didn't quote my favourite spiritual teacher after Jesus, St. Augustine. Augustine says, "Go forth on your path as it exists only through your walking." Yeah, you could chew on that one all week, couldn't you? So, over to you. Tell somebody nearby. Do you think there is a true path for each person's life? And then if you think there is, well, then what happens if they fall off? And how does that work? Over to you. Just tease it out. See what you come up with. Yes, it is a very difficult question, I just heard someone say. It is supposed to be difficult. And it's okay if you don't have an answer, because I'm not sure I precisely do all the time. Now, with this question, I'm kind of on slippery territory. Lots of things could be said, but I'm just going to ask a few people's opinions. And this is what I want you to think about this week, because it's a good question. And I think obsessing over this kind of thinking could actually lead to mental illness, by the way. Philosophy is not always a good thing. But nevertheless, let's ask the question. And Steve said something. Okay. And I've got a question with, can God deal with that?
Absolutely.
And, oh, this is really good. So your path can change as you go along because of your choices. God can deal with that. How does God deal with the end? Ah, well, that's basically the whole sermon. You got it. Does anyone else want to say something that they thought? I'm just going to go to one. I think we've got to have a gender balance. I like the things you say, Margaret. He's able to recalculate. When my children were really small, we had one of those GPS weirdy things. They were fairly new at the time. I know, I'm getting old. And do you remember this, kids? I used to deliberately go the wrong way to make the GPS say recalculating, and the kids used to laugh and laugh, and I used to go, recalculating, and mock it. Now they're smarter than me. Maybe God can do some recalculating. Yeah, that's the question for you to think through this week. I'll tell you this, though. I think the answer is hard to know, and I think it has something to do with what St. Augustine said. Now, assuming that we do feel that there is a true path or a right path for our life, how do you find it? How do people approach working out what to do and what choices to make for their lives? How is the true path found? That's the question. Well, I want to show you seven ways that people try to find the true path, the path for their life, their fit. And all of these ways have good parts to them. They all derive from good things, but they all go wrong. So here are some ways that people try to chart their path. The first is called subjectivism. Subjectivism is basically what I feel is my path. If it feels good, do it. If it feels right, follow it. That's actually what a lot of life coaches do these days, is they just help you to work out what feels good, what feels right, and do it. That's great. Follow your feelings. That's what Darth Vader said, by the way. No, he said, listen to your feelings. I like feelings. But is that the primary or main way to determine your life path? And what if they mislead you? Can feelings do that? Some people of faith feel that whatever they feel is what God says. Is that right? The second way that people sometimes try to find their true path is simply to reject the idea of a true path at all. It's called skepticism. It's just the idea that there's really no ultimate truth anyway. And so it's all just random. So do whatever you like. Or what about relativism? Relativism is an interesting one. Some people avoid the question of trying to think hard about their life and what they're going to do by simply saying, well, your path is true for you and my path is true for me. Notice there's a bit of truth in each of these errors, isn't there? Relativism basically says it doesn't really matter what religion you choose, what philosophy you choose, what belief you choose, or what actions you choose, because it's true for you and mine's true for me. Liberal's true for you. Labor's true for him. Lower taxes is true for you. Higher taxes is true for him. Is that true? I don't know. More refugees is true for you. Less refugees is true for him. Now, the thing with relativism is we don't actually attempt to talk to each other about these views. We don't actually attempt to determine if there is a truth or a right thing. We just go, yeah, no. You can have more refugees and I'll have less. You can have more tax and I'll have less. Does that actually work? I wonder if that's a cop-out. Then there's universalism, which is very similar. Universalists say that in the end, all paths are the same. They say that no matter what road you take, it always leads to Rome or heaven or whatever that is. Universalists are honestly saying that it is Islam and Buddhism are the same. Now, I know Buddhists and Islamic people who would be offended by that view. Islam and Buddhism are not the same. Not remotely the same. Their goals aren't even the same. But universalists just avoid the question of having to think hard about what I believe and who I am and where I'm going by instead asserting, doesn't matter, you'll get there anyway. I wonder if that's a good way. There are definitely some universals to believe, though, aren't there? Another way people try to chart their path is mysticism. I'm attracted to mysticism. The mystic way is that the true path can be found within you. So the mystic doesn't necessarily need outside information. The mystic doesn't want to talk to people and read books and watch stuff. They just want to sit on their bum and look inside. And I love doing that. And you know what? I've discovered incredible wisdom in doing that. But, you know, I've also become pretty narcissistic and self-focused and just thought a whole heap of rubbish that was just my own ideas. And I thought, wow, God thinks that. No, it was just me. So mysticism is a path that a lot of modern people are pursuing because we need to quieten down and listen to our hearts. We do. But is that the ultimate source to chart the path of your life? That is my question. Two more. Superstition. Well, Jupiter's in the ascendancy right now, therefore this, and this will happen. God, if you give me four sets of green lights, then I know I should become a missionary to India. Lord, I'm not sure whether I should brush my teeth this morning. I'll count the dots on the mirror, and if there are seven, I shall. God works through signs and wonders and the things that happen around you, without doubt. But the person that takes a superstitious path is always fishing for signs, and that's how they chart their life. Finally, dogmatism. This is somebody who thinks that the true path, the way to work out your life, is rules. Rigid ones. A set of very perfectly defined beliefs. Do you have a set of perfectly defined beliefs, Carl? No. I've noticed. A dogmatist thinks that if I can just know the rules of the natural world through physics and chem, the rules of the universe through, you know, for every action there's an equal and opposite reaction, the rules of God maybe in the Bible or the Quran, then I just find a rule and that's how I plot my course. And this approach was extended in the Old Testament so far that the ancient Jewish people at the time of Christ had how many rules? 613. And they knew how to chart their path because it was written down in the book. So, here's my question for you to quickly think about. They all have relative strengths and weaknesses. There's something in each of these that is true, otherwise people wouldn't do them. Which of these are you most tempted to? To chart your path, which of these, maybe it's two or three, tend to inform your decisions? Now, I know you're going to talk for ages. I'm going to give you 1 minute. I'm going to look at my watch. Are you ready? You can tell someone or you can just think about it. Ready, set. Which of these would you lean to? Go. All right, 60 seconds is up. Let's move on. How is the true path found? Well, first I want to look at how did Jesus find his path? And then I want to ask, what is our true path? This is a tricky one. Sometimes it's dangerous when you read what Jesus did and you say, do what Jesus did. That's actually not precisely the way the Bible was intended to be read, by the way. The whole what would Jesus do thing. You know why? Jesus is far more than my example. He's my saviour. Sometimes I can't do what Jesus did and he saves me. So don't take what I'm about to do next as do this. Take this instead as an exploration of who Jesus is. What was the path of Jesus? Let me just ask you some yes and no questions. Did Jesus Christ have a true path? Yes. Did he know it? Yes. Did he follow it? Okay. That makes him incredibly different from us. And this is the thing that we read when we read the Gospels in the Bible. We discover this incredible person who did have a true path, who knew his true path, and who followed it. And that's incredible. I don't think I've ever seen anyone else who's done that. And his true path, well, let's look at it. There's a prophecy about Jesus from 500 years before in Isaiah 50. You can read it out loud if you want to wake up. Read it with me. The Lord God has given me the tongue of wisdom that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. The Lord God opened my ear and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who strike and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting, but the Lord God helps me so that I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. This is a picture of the heart of Jesus. And this is Jesus who knows his path. He knows his path is going where, by the way? The cross. That is what Palm Sunday is all about. He knows he's going to die. He knows that this is the right path for him. It involves suffering for love. And it says, I set my face like flint. You know what flint is? It's that sharp stone they make a spear out of. And Jesus is like that. His face is like flint. He will not be turned away from what he knows he is called to. Amazing. And then Luke refers to this in chapter 9 where he says, when the days drew near for him to be taken up, Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem. So let's just be clear. We have this enigmatic, mysterious, amazing story about this guy who knew his path. And he set his face toward it. What was his destination? Just checking. The cross. I wonder what that would be like to know and to stick to that. That's what we reflect on this week in Holy Week. Christ, God in the flesh, who knew his path was to save you for love and it was going to hurt. And he did it. And no one else could. But you know, people tried to stop him, didn't they? Can you think of some examples of people trying to stop Jesus going to Jerusalem, going to the cross, going to his death, going for love? Just yell them out. Peter. Peter said, "This will never happen to you. Don't do it." What else? Temptation, Satan in the desert. They're all shortcuts. There's always shortcuts. And this is something we can learn from Jesus, is that most spiritual paths that people choose are shortcuts. All those other ones I showed you were shortcuts. Speculation, mysticism, that's all. It's universal. It's not all shortcuts. Jesus did not take a shortcut. Can you think of other people trying to stop him? What about when he fed 5,000 people miraculously with bread? And what happened after that? What did they say? Let's make him king. Straight to the throne. That's a shortcut. Because Jesus wasn't headed straight for the throne. He was headed via the cross. And this is actually another lesson that we can get from the life of Jesus, but I'm not using him as an example so much here, is that your life must go via the cross. There are no shortcuts. No one can avoid the cross, right? This is the true path of Jesus. I wish that I could have that, but I don't, because I'm not God. We see this of Jesus because he's God come in the flesh, right? And we can't know our future like that. We can't know exactly what's going to happen. We can't know what problems are going to come. But what we do know as Christians is that when we face the cross, there's always something on the other side, right? And what is that? The empty grave. So, I wanted to tell you about the path of Jesus, and we've seen it. But now what I want to ask you is there a true path for every human? I mean, surely the details vary. The details vary in your life versus mine. But is there a true path that we are all called to follow? And if so, where do I find it? I think there is. In 1949, a man called Joseph Campbell wrote an amazing book. His book was called The Hero's Journey. And in this book, he described what he called a hero with 1,000 faces. Joseph Campbell thought that he had discovered something new that no one else had ever seen. Unfortunately, he just needed to read just 5 minutes of some of the great Christian teachers and he would have discovered that he was saying something very old. But Campbell said this, "I've discovered a story in every religion. I've discovered the same story in every culture, in 1,000 places, different versions. Like sometimes it's Nelson Mandela, and sometimes it's the ancient Egyptian god Osiris, and sometimes it's the Greek Phoenix, and sometimes it's Martin Luther King." Did I say that one already? Sometimes it's, he said, "I've discovered this story. Sometimes it's in our fairy tales. Sometimes it's in our movies, in our books." He said, "It's the universal story." In fact, he said, "If you want to write a bestseller, just do this." And this is what people who write stories actually sometimes do. J.K. Rowling took this and used it for her books to write what? She did. Yeah. Harry Potter's so amazing because it's based on the greatest story that exists that's somehow mystically embedded in our consciousnesses as a race. Harry Potter follows what Campbell called the hero's journey. It's the greatest story and the universal story that every culture and every group throughout time seem to seek in some way and find. You find me a culture and I'll find you the hero's journey in their story. Can you see the steps in this journey? And you know what Joseph Campbell said? He said, "Jesus Christ epitomizes and is the greatest example of the hero's journey." I'm going far further. I am going far further than that. I'm going to make a claim that many people in our modern world don't like. I'm going to say that the hero's journey is a story that every human longs for, because deep down somewhere in a corner or crevasse of our heart, we know we are broken and we need a hero. And deep down, we know that we can't chart our own path and we don't know how to choose our life path and we need a guide. And deep down, we know that our life is a journey. It is a journey and it has a destination and we're not sure how to get there. And so the human race knows that we're on a journey and we seek the hero of that journey. I think Jesus is the hero. And I think that his life is the true human path, the path we were meant for and designed for, the path of love, the path of forgiveness, the path of even loving your enemies. That's the true human path. And I know that I haven't followed it fully, but Jesus did. And I think that like a broken mirror scattered throughout time and space, the Lord Jesus Christ is reflected in 1,000, 10,000 places everywhere in other people's stories. I found it in Dreamtime Aboriginal culture. I found it in American Indian culture. It's there because everyone seeks the hero. So what? How does that help me with my life and choosing my life path? I'll tell you this. I don't know exactly what choices you should make, and there are lots of methods you could use, like praying and reflecting and listening to the Holy Spirit and talking to people. But this I know, wherever your life takes you, if you want your life to be the path that God intended for you, it is to follow Jesus. Your path will not be perfect. Oh, no. But Jesus will get you to the end. He's the hero who enters the abyss and dies and is reborn and gives you life. And one day, I know this. Every single human being will face the cross. Buddhists and Islamic people and atheists and Christians all agree that our destination is identical. We all agree on that. You ain't going to get out of that bit of your journey. Are you? And the cross symbolizes death. And I know this. If you just simply put your hands out and trust Jesus, you don't have to know it all. Then when you get to that cross, Jesus is there and he gets you through. Amen. Let's pray and then we're going to sing a new song. Lord Jesus, give us wisdom for our path. Give us wisdom in our walking. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life eternal. Amen.